And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ahoy, Tampa Bay sports fans. Welcome aboard the RBLR Bucks podcast, your go-to vessel for all things Tampa Bay Buccaneers related. Well, I'm your co-host, Musab, steering the ship through the offseason and keeping the Buccaneers' spirit alive. And don't worry, just because that Super Bowl is behind us doesn't mean the action stops. I'll tell you this, folks, you know, we always got some action going on here at RBLR. We got the Tampa Bay Lightning on the ice, the Sun FC women's team gearing up, and the Rowdies setting sail for some more action. And, of course, we got that spring training for our beloved Rays. So there's always something going on. And I'll tell you this, we still keep the juice for you with our Buccaneers. So there's no shortage of Tampa Bay excitement to keep you entertained, even if this podcast alone isn't enough to satisfy that Tampa Bay thirst. And reminder, if you got some thoughts or feelings to share, don't hesitate to let us know. I want you to drop your comments on our live stream. Heck, if you can't catch us on live, leave a comment after the show. We'll be sure to check it out. I want to keep this Tampa Bay conversation going strong all year long, no matter what time you tune in. And as always, folks, you know, I'm never sailing this voyage solo. Joining me today are my co-captains. To my right, the one and only Mr. Zach Blaine. Zach, what's got you fired up about Tampa Bay sports as we sail through the off-season waters?
You know, man, I'm just excited that we're getting into draft season now. I think the combine, the workout starts tomorrow. So it feels good. It feels like we're getting back in the cycle. I haven't watched too much spring training because, God, I'll be awful. The Rays don't look so hot right now. I know it's just spring training. We did just beat the Red Sox today. I'll give them that. But it's going to be interesting to watch the Rays this season.
Spring training, though, yeah. No, I got you, though, man. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, man. I'm finally happy we're getting some kind of action going on with the NFL Combine as well. A couple interesting things coming out or whatever. But, folks, what is this show without our final puzzle piece to this iconic trio? I want you to be ready for our other key member of this crew, someone who I would say brings the heat with every take. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Carter Brantley. Carter, same question for you, man. What's the good word? And how we doing this offseason? You know, you staying busy with some other Tampa Bay sports or?
Trying to keep up with the Rays spring training stuff is awesome. Just because it's fun. Like, it's fun to have baseball back, you know, even if regardless of the results, you know, it's a fun time. Headed to a Rays spring training game this weekend. So that should be a lot of fun down in Port Charlotte. Not looking forward to the drive, but you know, the end of the drive will be pretty fun. The destination, not the journey in this case, but excited to talk some Bucks football. You know, there's a little bit of news this week, especially in the past 24 hours. So we'll get into that. You know, there's a little bit to talk about there. But if you like what you hear, if you want to keep liking what you're hearing, definitely hit that like and subscribe button. We'll have some great content coming out every week for the Bucks. And we're going to have some draft stuff like Zach and Musab were saying. And that's going to be great. I'm really excited for it. So, you know, we'll get right into it. Starting off, the biggest news from this past week really was Jordan Whitehead. He's gone. Well, I don't want to say gone, but they're not renewing his contract. I think it was an option of some sort. I'm not really sure, but regardless, it was going to be $4.5 million. But that is off the books. They've decided to move on, part ways. Apparently, reportedly, there's still like an open door or a hypothetical situation where he returns on a lower dollar amount, depending on how he comes back from the injuries that he sustained from the car accident that he was in. Obviously, hopefully he's doing all right. It's interesting. It's a good move, I think. And honestly, I'm certainly not opposed to bringing him back because then he can just compete with Tyke Smith for that starting safety spot. But speaking of Tyke Smith, obviously he's kind of the supposed starter moving forward at the safety position. Christian Isian kind of shifts over to that slot role that Tyke was playing. Does this change the calculus for you in the offseason at all in regards to the safety position? Or are you kind of like, well, this is kind of expected? Musab, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on this Jordan Whitehead news?
Yeah, I mean, I still think that, you know, safety is something to look at for sure. I mean, I feel like both cornerback and safety, both are, you know, something we've been thinking about these last couple of years and always hoping for the best, of course. So I think, you know, hopefully Tyken Smith can do a good job. As you said already, Carter, I mean, yeah, I would love to have Whitehead back, but I mean, I guess it appears the chances are slim. And, you know, I hate to sound like an asshole too, but I mean, business is business. And, you know, if he doesn't recover, you know, from, you know, everything that's happened in the past, especially with that accident, then, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we just, you know, cut him short. So that being said, though, I mean, it's still something to look at, you know, during this offseason with the draft as well. I think it's, I guess, thinking about a little bit of insurance, because if things don't go well with Tyke Smith, hopefully whoever we get, whether it's a, you know, a free agent or a draft pick, hopefully they can kind of fill those shoes.
Yeah, and I know if they do, we're going to be looking into more specifics, but I know Todd Bowles and Jason Light do love some versatile safeties, you know, that can drop in, play the nickel as well as play the safety. We saw it with Tyke Smith a lot this past season. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bucs go that route, because then you can kind of two birds with one stone kind of approach, have a safety, but also kind of have that backup nickel corner as well. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm right there with you. It's definitely going to be a really interesting position to look at moving forward, just because, you know, Antoine Winfield Jr. had a bit of a step back, but also, like you said, Tyke Smith will be his first year starting in the NFL as a safety. So it's always nice to have sort of a backup plan, like you said, if things go awry, but also, unfortunately, injuries happen. So, you know, definitely a really good position to look at moving forward. But Mr. Blaine, how about you, man? Was this a surprise at all, or how does this change the calculus for the safety position in the offseason for you?
I don't think it changes much, if I'm being honest. I think if I'm not mistaken, we talked about it last week, with the off the field stuff, like the car wreck that I believe he was charged with reckless driving for that, right?
I'm not sure.
I thought I heard that. I could be wrong. I'm not sure if it was his fault or someone else's fault, but with some of the off the field stuff, I'm not shocked that he was released. I think we kind of expected it with the lack of good play, if that makes sense. He wasn't very good for us last year, so I'm not surprised he's gone. I'm happy to see that Tyke Smith is kind of pushed into that starter role, and they're, if not mistaken, they said he would be in the mix for the starter role, but like, who's going to take that from him unless we sign someone big? He's going to get that starting role, and I think it's good. I think that it's going to develop him more as opposed to just being a nickel, and I think it puts Izzy in back to where he was really good for us his rookie year. So I'm excited for it. I think it still makes us shallow in the safety department, but not as shallow as we are at corner. So I don't know if it necessarily changes much for like my list of needs, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. It's kind of interesting, you know, with he's got Antoine Winfield Jr. and Tyke Smith back there, and then like I don't know, Kayvon Merriweather. I don't think sorry, go ahead.
I said he played decent.
Sure. Yeah, he's okay.
Look, he's a backup. That's what I mean. You're not going to have starter level guys as your backup, no matter.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be a thing to monitor moving forward. Absolutely. No doubt about it. But I don't know. It's tough because, like you said, it's thin at the cornerback room, but it's also thin now at safety too. There's not really a whole lot of depth there, even of backup guys. You know, it's going to be something to monitor. It's going to be something to monitor. But looking at some kind of trades, because I wanted to sort of address the, well, it's kind of been a few weeks and there's been some kind of quiet news in regards to it. But Myles Garrett, obviously the trade request was the big news. But are there any maybe fun targets that the Bucs could have in mind for trades other than Myles Garrett, maybe some low key guys? One of the first names that popped into my mind was Quay Walker from Green Bay. He's a linebacker, kind of a bummer so far, but former top pick, you know, kind of a post hype prospect, if you will. I know that's more of a baseball thing, but I figured, you know, high value for a late round pick, because are the Bucs really going to get a linebacker of Quay Walker's caliber in the late rounds? Maybe, but you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to take a shot on them or take a shot on him. But Zach, how about you, man? I know you're a big fan of kind of the post hype guys. Anyone that you're looking at for the Bucs to potentially trade for other than Myles Garrett?
You know, I mentioned Quay Walker a few episodes back. as a target that I really like. I think while he hasn't been super like standout, like great player, he has been relatively good as far as like making tackles. I think he's been pretty high on the tackle leaderboard for the Packers. I think he'd be a great fit, and it would fill a major need for us. And I don't think he'd be as expensive as a lot of people think. Outside of him, would love Trey Hendrickson. I don't expect him to be traded. I don't expect Myles Garrett to be traded. Everything leads me to believe that Myles Garrett stays in Cleveland for at least another year. So I think you, as boring of an answer as it is, Quay Walker is my go-to as well.
I got you.
Just because, I mean, he's a good – he fills one of the biggest needs for Tampa, and I think he'd be a value pick.
Yeah, or a absolutely. Value target. Yeah, I mean, change of scenery. I think that plays kind of a – you know, that whole cliche, kind of a fun part of it. I'm not necessarily going to be, you know, jumping for joy if they trade for Quay Walker, but, you know.
I think that's where we differ, because I would be very excited for it.
Like, well, I'd be happy, because at least it's not, you know, KJ Britt. Like, that would be an upgrade. But
listen, it could be JJ Russell, brother. You never know.
That's a very good point. But there'd still be more work to do moving forward. But
definitely.
It'd definitely be an upgrade over whatever the second linebacker would be moving forward. But Musab, how about you, man? Is there anybody that we haven't mentioned that maybe the Bucs could trade for if they, you know, assuming that Garrett stays put?
To be honest, no. But I do like the Quay Walker. I'm not gonna act like I have my bachelor's in Quay Walkerism either. But what I will say is that, you know, as beautiful as it always is to think about, you know, the next big thing with all these draft prospects, I mean, you also do want a guy who's experienced, you know what I'm saying, who's already been in the league before. And you know, he wasn't, you know, he didn't live up to his hype either, but as Zach said already, I mean, yeah, the linebacker position is definitely a big need for sure. And I feel like you know, Quay Walker would be definitely a big upgrade compared to what we have already with KJ Britt and JJ Russell as well. Sure, I'm always open to, you know, looking for some young guys in the draft as well, but there's going to be some positions that we can't just kind of only depend only on the draft. And I think, you know, Quay Walker is definitely a very reasonable you know, kind of decision. Definitely have to kind of think a little bit more about how much we'd be giving up. And I mean, I guess maybe I should just ask you all. I mean, you know, how much should, you know, the Buccaneers give up, or what is the expectation?
Probably a seventh rounder or a sixth rounder at most.
He's
just going to cost a lot of money, like more money than he's worth.
He's averaged over 100 tackles all 3 years he's been in the league.
I feel you.
Which, that's why I'm a little higher than him on you. Like, is he going to get you a big pick, a big interception? Probably not. He's got one in his career. But he's averaged over 100 tackles, which reminds me a lot of Lavonta David. Like, he's not as good as Lavonta David in his prime. Right now, not that much of a difference, in my opinion. But in the prime, obviously, huge difference. But Quay Walker's averaged over 100 tackles every season. He's played on an okay defense in Green Bay. I think him coming to Tampa and being the guy in Tampa would do wonders for him, and I'd be willing to give up anywhere from a fourth to a seventh.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess from the Bucs' perspective, a fourth-round pick is sort of where Jason Light makes his money. I think they'd be a bit more hesitant to do so for a guy like Walker, who he racks up tackles. That's awesome. But, like you said, his coverage skills just aren't great. And, you know, it's unfortunate, because he's not awful in regards to run defense and pass rush. Yeah. So if he were even average in coverage, he'd actually be a pretty solid linebacker. And then I'd be with him.
Perfect with what Tampa does.
Right.
All of pass coverage is trash. So why not just add to that?
Like, right. Yeah, it's tough. You know, it's going to be tough to find a good fit in that regard, because then, you know, if you sacrifice that run defense, then you get into a pass coverage linebacker, but maybe he's kind of shredded cheese in regards to the run game. So it's tough to strike that balance. But the Bucs tend to do a decent job of it. We'll see if they're able to wave the magic wand and do something special. And maybe Quay Walker's the answer. You know, that's kind of the it's kind of something interesting to monitor. But if you're looking for not just the Quay Walker for a wardrobe upgrade, if you're looking for like a first round talent, if you're looking for Luke Kuechly or Levante David for upgrading your wardrobe, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some really great gear for you there. We've got all everything Tampa Bay related, you know, all those sports that Musa was mentioning at the beginning of the episode, we've got you covered. And that's shop.rblrsports.com. And we'll give you a promo code Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type that in, get 10% off your entire order. All right, we've kind of teased it. We've kind of talked about it the first half of the episode. Draft needs. This is the episode premiere, big deal, you know, fireworks in the background, that great Gatsby scene where he's like toasting or whatever. Anyways, we're gonna do our little sort of consensus draft needs. We're gonna have some nitpicks, you know, we're gonna have some discussions for sure. And there are gonna be some positions that were left off the list that you might be surprised by, but we'll get into it. Number one, we've got edge rusher. I don't know that that's a huge surprise to many people other than Zach Blaine, of course, but number two, corner. Really solid. This is also assuming that Dean is gone, probably too.
I don't care if Dean's here.
Word, for sure. And then number three, we got safety. Like we were just talking about, Whitehead's gone. So definitely some depth issues there. Number four, interior linebacker. I was a little surprised that this was as low as number four because of all the issues that we're talking about. Like Levante David, is he coming back? If he's not, I think this need shoots up a little bit because then you're depending on KJ Britton, Servassier Dennis as your starting linebackers. Not super excited about that prospect. But anyways, number five, interior defensive line. You know, that's pretty self-explanatory. Just have important to have some depth behind Logan Hall and guys like that. And number six, interior offensive line because, you know, Ben Bredesen could be coming back, but Robert Hainsey is a free agent, so they need a backup center. And then number seven, we got wide receiver. Slash tight ends, you know, kind of a playmaker, just a wide out kind of type. You know, there are guys that come into the NFL. You're not really sure. Last year, I think it was Johnny Wilson was sort of the first guy that came to my mind because he's, you know, 6'8" or however tall he is. So he could theoretically play tight end or wide receiver. So maybe a guy like that, sort of a fun kind of versatile option for the Bucs would be good. So that's our top seven. That's our seven positions of need. So we'll get into it. Are there any positions, first off, that didn't make the cut that the Bucs could still – you wouldn't be surprised that they'd maybe make a pick on that position, even though we didn't list it. Musab, I'll start with you, man. Are there any positions just off your list?
No, absolutely not. I feel like the biggest thing is just defense, defense, and defense. You know, I mean, it would be cool to obviously, you know, get some, you know, offense firepower, and we can look at that later on in the later rounds, of course. But I was actually going to ask you all, I mean, is this, you know, because I know we have a little bit of different rankings, you know, would you all be kind of open to looking at the best guy available based on those kind of top three or top four needs, if you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think that's a great way of looking at it. You know, if you get to pick 19, I think they're at pick 19, right? Yeah. If they get to pick 19 and they're in the first round and they like, hey, edge, cornerback, safety, interior linebacker, who's the best guy we got? Like just basically the best defensive player available at pick 19 would be like, I can understand it. You know, it wouldn't obviously an interior defensive lineman, maybe not. But the rest of those four, if they picked any one of them at that spot, I'd pretty much be okay with it. There's just, it, like you said, defense, defense, defense. Our first four numbers were our top five, all defensive positions, unsurprisingly, because the Bucs defense, not great last year. So yeah, that's a great point. Best player available would be ideal. But Zach, how about you, man? Are there any positions that maybe sort of missed the cut that we didn't talk about?
So obviously, I think we're probably going to need a tight end, I believe, or not a tight end, a quarterback, sorry. I feel like, obviously, Trask is gone. We know that. What Michael Pratt is our only other quarterback on the roster right now. And I like Pratt. I really do. I think he has potential later on down the road. I think he's someone that can develop. But I think that kind of misses the list a little bit because I wouldn't be shocked if Tampa took a fifth to a seventh round flyer on a guy to back up, potentially replace Baker when Baker's contract's up or when he retires. Because I mean, in this league, 4 more years, Baker could be ready to go home, you know, like he could be ready to call it. So
yeah,
I
would understandable.
If we were to draft a guy, especially if, like, let's say Quinn Ewers or someone falls fifth or sixth round, just based off of the talent level that he's played at before, you almost have to take a flyer on him, like in the fifth or sixth round. I wouldn't be shocked and I wouldn't be mad. But I don't think that's a top need, so that's why it didn't make my list anyway.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think quarterback could sneak up on the Bucs a little bit, maybe. Like you said, if it's the end of the draft and like seventh round, like you're kind of just grasping for straws anyways. It's not
exactly.
The margins between a seventh round pick and an undrafted free agent are pretty slim. So yeah, there's definitely not a whole lot of risk there. I also was intrigued running back didn't make the cut. Zach, you're a big running back guy. I was kind of surprised you didn't bring that up because the running back class is really good this year.
And that's why it didn't make the cut, because it's so good. Mm-hmm. I would love, and I mean, I would love to take a guy like Ollie Gordon or Damian Martinez later in the rounds, but the talent level is so deep in this class. I think there's going to be guys that fall all the way through the draft who can get signed. If Tampa were to take a fifth to a seventh round flyer on a running back, that's another one I would be okay with. Give me Damian Martinez in the fifth, sixth round.
For sure.
Like I'm okay with that and I would love it, but it's one of those things that it's not a need. So I'm not, as much as I love running back, I'm not very high on it this season.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I got to admit, I think that their options for the running back room are pretty open because Sean Tucker and Belky Irving are both really versatile in pass catching and running between the tackles. That they could theoretically absolutely go, you know, like you said, Martinez or Ollie Gordon, but they could also, Donovan Edwards would be really fun too, especially because his value kind of
potential is through the roof.
Yeah, his value kind of took a dive off a cliff this season, and understandably so.
This season just nosedived.
Yeah. So
and I'm good.
Right.
Hey, not for them, for Tampa. Good.
For sure. Right. No, I feel you though. But Musab, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on the running back class? And since the Bucks could cut Rashad White, you know, that's theoretically an option. So, what do you think?
More likely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Running back class is deep for sure, and I feel like there's plenty of opportunities to get some talent later on. I just feel like it's just not worth the risk, you know, kind of wanting to, you know, to focus on that. Unless there is some guy that, you know, I was actually watching the Buccaneers have posted some Instagram video, like these guys on their scout team watch like hours and hours and hours of tape. So, you know, if there is a guy that, you know, after watching all that tape out there that, you know, it is a hidden gem for them and they want to risk it, then I am totally fine with it. And same thing with the quarterback. It's not even about Baker Mayfield after 4 years. It's more my kind of thing is, what if Baker just goes down for, you know, another reason, aka like just an ugly injury or something.
With how he plays, I don't think that's unrealistic.
Yeah. So it's just like, okay, so now what? You know, now we got who? You know what I'm saying? What? We're gonna, you know, bump up Pratt. What's the situation with Trask? So, I mean, there's you know, plenty of, I guess, holes to fill, of course. But I guess when it comes to me, and you know, even with the kind of, you know, the depth side, I feel like I'd rather just focus more even on depth pieces on the defense compared to the offense. And oh wow, looks like someone just read my mind.
What are the odds?
There we go. Yeah, I think defense. yeah, pretty. I think we're pretty consensus on that.
Yeah, I think that if we start taking depth on offense before we focus on depth on defense, then this team is going to have another season like last season. I think it'll be worse than last season because I think that with the way the team was set up last year, our offense was very high powered and our defense kind of fell through. I think that no matter how good we were this season, we're going to, you know, take some positive regression back, because what are the odds like up for us to run the ball as good as we did last year? We got a new offensive coordinator who he's been a part of the team, but there's some stuff that's going to change this season. And I don't foresee us being able to win 10 games or win 9 games with the defense that we had last season.
That's fair. I'm not necessarily disagreeing. That's a good point. If the defense doesn't step up, because like you said, they kind of played above their talent level, I think, offensively. So yeah, that's a great point. If there's not there, but that's the good news, you know, as bad as the defense was, maybe there's some positive regression for the defense, you know, maybe they meet in the middle, you know, maybe they meet in the middle and it turns out okay. I don't know. That might be optimistic and wishful thinking on my part, but, speaking of, since there we talked about the positions that we think, oh, it's okay if the Bucks target this position at the end of the draft, are there any positions that like just nope, stay away, like off the table? Are there any positions that if the Bucks, I know Zach, you kind of had a visceral reaction to Graham Barton being taken in the first round. Are there any positions that you might react like that if they take at any point?
Yeah, I mean, special teams, stay the hell away. I feel like that's a kind of a cheesy answer, because like really that's, if you take a punter in the seventh round, I don't want to see it, but I don't give a shit. Like, it's the seventh round. Yeah. But my biggest thing is if you take an offensive lineman high in this draft again, I'm going to lose my mind. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to see him take an edge guy early in this draft. It hasn't worked for us in a very long time. I don't want to continue this damn path of take a guy early, play him for 3 years, and then next year we need another guy early because that guy's not working out. It just, I'm tired of it. I want to change, and I want it now.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, man. It's frustrating to watch the JTSs and the Noah Spences and
exactly.
It's tough.
All of them, really. Outside of Vita Vea, like, none of our defensive linemen or our edge guys have been worth a damn that we've drafted early. And it sucks. But unless you're giving me Abdul Carter in the first round, don't draft an edge. I don't want to see it. Like, we're not going to get Abdul Carter. Don't draft an edge. I don't care.
Wow. Fair enough. Musab, how about you, man?
First two rounds, don't draft an edge. That's what I'm saying. Draft an edge at some point.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm kind of a little bit kind of stuck in the middle. I can definitely understand if we were to, you know, get an edge. Edge rusher in the first round. But for me, I mean, it's really more just I'm looking at inside linebacker and, you know, our DB room, specifically our cornerbacks. I mean, we could use all kinds of help. It's just that, you know, we've just too many times, you know, gotten an edge rusher in the first or second round. And they've unfortunately broken my heart because they really haven't done much damage on the field. And right. To me, it kind of just seems like it's just a bunch of kind of, you know, 19-year-old J.P. Morgan interns, you know, they come by during the summer and all that for a couple of years. And then once they graduate, they get their big boy job somewhere else, you know. So
exactly, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
Thank you.
It's tough to watch the Bucks, you know, continuously waste draft picks on a position. It's true of any team, you know. You watch the Jets with quarterbacks, right? Or the Giants. Yeah. With
quarterbacks. There's always – every team has a position that they just are not good at drafting.
Yeah. And it's tough because the Bucks have – like, they traded for JPP, which turned out well. Signed Shaq Barrett, great. You know, great. So maybe, like you said, maybe the path to acquiring that kind of talent at that position is, you know, external options instead of trying to figure it out in the draft. Maybe that's just a weird.
It almost just seems like a developmental thing. Like, we're not good at developing pass rushers.
Yeah, if maybe so.
We're good at scouting them and going, hey, JPP on our team would be phenomenal.
Right.
Shaq Barrett will have one of the best seasons of his career on our defense. Like, I get it. We're really good at that. But as far as, like, developing homegrown D-end outside linebacker types, I can't remember the last time we had a really, really, really good – outside linebacker D end that we drafted.
Yeah, no, none come to mind. Absolutely. But you know, at the same time, like maybe it's more of an amateur scouting thing, you know, like scouting college players too.
Yeah.
Shaq Barrett in the Bucks defense, he was, you know, he was a backup when they signed him. And then they, you know, maybe it was sprinkled, whatever the case may be, he turned out great, you know, whether it was him, whether it was the development team or what have you. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know that there's a good answer for why the Bucs can't seem to figure out their pass rush. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough because it's sort of the keep ramming your head against the wall, because having a good pass rush is so important. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles have shown that. The San Francisco 49ers, obviously this past season wasn't good, but most of the past few years they've had really, really talented defensive linemen, and that's contributed to their success. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough because at the same time you don't want to see them continue just the definition of insanity, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. But also, like, the alternative is to not have any pass rush at all. But I am with you, Musab, about interior linebackers. That's going to be a really, really, you know, really big position for me, because theoretically, if they just ran it back, like, it's not going to be great, but their edge rushers, their corners, their safeties, they at least have like theoretical NFL starters. Interior linebacker, they do not. Like, KJ Britt is not an NFL starter. Servasi again, I don't know. So they don't have two linebackers that can start like right now. Every other position,
I don't think they have one that should be starting right now, unless Servasi Dennis has developed and got over his injuries.
Right, exactly. That's a great point. And I just think that assuming it just depends on Levante David. You know, obviously everything does.
Even if he's back, like, he had such an off year. I don't think that you're going to have, at his age, and again, it's not a ding on him. Levante has been so good for us for so many years, but when you get to a certain age, the regression is not something like, oh, that was just a one-off. Like, the regression is just going to continue to happen.
For sure. And
with how much he fell off last year compared to the year before, I don't want to see him back and playing worse than that. And not even for the outcome of the Bucs whole season. It's just like for his legacy as a Buck, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. It'd be kind of disheartening to see him go out like that. But at the same time, like, the leadership qualities, you know, the sort of immeasurable stuff. So I'd understand if the Bucs did bring him back. Especially because he's still a good run defender. You know, he's not good in coverage. Like, it's tough to watch him drop back, but he can still do his thing in the run. So, you know, if they bounce him, maybe they draft more of a coverage linebacker, and that's how they solve that issue. You know, maybe that's how they approach that, which wouldn't be bad. You know, I think that'd be solid for all parties involved. But we're coming near the end of our episode. If you want to hear more stuff like this, we're going to keep talking about the draft needs. We're going to get into specifics, you know, specific prospects for each position. I think we're going to work backwards, you know, 7 all the way to 1. And then, we'll keep you interested. You know, we won't talk about edge until the very end, much to the dismay of Mr. Blaine, of course. But definitely stick around. Definitely give us a follow if you want to keep up with our content across our channels at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks if you just want Buck stuff. Definitely check us out there. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you to my co-host for making my job easier. And we'll see y'all next week. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.